WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
We've got C-Mac on the fan, Chris McMonagle on the fan. Won't you tune in and listen, McMonagle on the fan. Hear him overnight or on cotton, full of charm and appeal. Witty, intelligent, resonant, and blunt, he says what he feels. Don't you want a McMonagle? You can call on the phone. A McMonagle to chronicle when you're under the covers all alone. Take our advice. It's worth mentioning twice. A host like McMonagle is no roll of the dice. McMonagle. McMonagle on the fan.
Yeah.
Wow, Chris.
Who's written a song for you, Sean? I asked you that. That's what I asked you.
Nobody.
Who has written that song?
Rich Ackerman.
Oh, well, I have the classic McMonagle. Yeah, the Monster Mirage, right?
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. We'll spin off Halloween time. So that was, I already forgot to call his name. Is that Randy? What? No, Woody in Plattsburgh was not Woody.
No, it wasn't Woody.
He wasn't?
Oh, God. Well, if you're just tuning in, a caller called at the end of last hour that Chris didn't remember at all.
Clearly, Tony. Tony and Ridgewood.
Tony and Ridgewood,
great
right.
Listener, great caller, and he made that song for Chris, and Chris didn't remember the song. Now does it ring a bell?
No. I never listened to it.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
Terrible.
I went
I'm
digging
sorry.
Back in the files. I found it.
It was in there. Now I do
you
remember.
You never listened to it, and Rosenberg found it in 4 minutes?
I'm very sorry to Tony. It was one of those things where he brought it up. He wrote a letter. He sent. Somehow it got to me, and I had it put in the file and meant to go listen to it and never did. And that's tremendous.
It's a good job.
That is a tremendous job. And I'm going to incorporate it in my show on some level because I have to, and I feel bad. You're 100% right. I don't remember the song at all. I'm not going to be honest now. That's the first time I heard it.
Egomaniac, that Chris
McMonagle. I think that's the first time I heard it. I don't remember it. I don't know how long ago it was. I don't remember it. Maybe I did hear it. I don't remember it.
Well, there you have it. So good job.
Tremendous.
Tony and Ridgewood, the Chris
Thank
McMonagle
you, Tony.
Song.
When someone writes a song for you, Sean, I'm sure you'll know what that feels like. You'll know the joy and the pride I have right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sure I will. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. No Evan, no Tiki, no Loogie. I'm the last starter left in a fourth preseason game along with Chris McMonagle. I used that line in the newsroom earlier.
You did.
I think it killed.
Yeah, it did pretty well. I don't know. How do you feel it went right there?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. I think Twitter would agree. Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
No.
Bombing, maybe. Bombing.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, listen, you should have done a little prep.
Well, yeah.
Before the show, you should have checked on who's still with us.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, run that by more of an astute audience than Ray Martell.
Yeah, so again, you can check out any of the show on the Odyssey Rewind app, or apparently Stu Gotts with Geo, which is getting a lot of calls.
Yeah, I know. Everyone seems to have an opinion on Stu Gotts.
Everybody go on the Rewind app, and if you want to hear a really funny George Steinbrenner, Ted Turner joke that I was wrong on, again, the Odyssey Rewind app, check out our open as we led with the Mets, and obviously the big
win
they had.
That was a really good joke, if only it actually was accurate. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that, if only. I'm glad he's alive and
I'm
well.
Glad he's alive. Yeah, so full disclosure, I did not research Ted Turner's life, and he's been out of the spotlight for a while.
Yeah.
I assumed passed away wrongly, and I want to apologize to the Ted Turner family, and I did say if Ted Turner was still alive, you know, he'd be making major changes to the Braves
right
now. Turns
Brave
out.
Fans are clamoring for him to be alive like the Yankee fans are for George Steinbrenner, which is as just, I'm sorry. I know.
If George
even,
is still alive.
Francesa did it in his rant. His rant was great. His rant was on point.
What did he do a rant in?
On the Yankees.
Where? YouTube?
No, he has his the podcast, the Mike Francesa podcast.
I don't want to be smug and arrogant. I forgot he was doing that.
He is.
Good for Okay, I got to go back and listen
good
to that.
For Mike. Good for him.
I love Mike.
I know. I'm just saying.
I did not realize.
Yeah, he's on Bet Rivers podcast. He does a good job. I still listen to it every once in a while. Someone sent me that he did a rant on killing the Yankees. But he did the, if George were alive today, he would have called them down to the ballpark at 3:00 in the morning just to yell at them. Heads would roll. And they're not wrong.
Right.
But my point is the New York Yankees from 1979 to 1995 had 17 managers in 16 years and stunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he created an atmosphere of trading away all the good players when they were young for aging veterans that failed. They were disastrous. By the time 1990 and 91 rolled around, they were the laughingstock of baseball, and they didn't turn it around until he was banished. So let's just cool the jets on if only George Steinbrenner were around. That's all I'm saying. And I love George, but let's just relax.
And to that point, if George Steinbrenner were still around, which we know he is not.
Right.
The Yankees, under those circumstances, likely would be on their fourth manager since hiring Aaron Boone.
Oh, no doubt.
So
I mean, well, Boone would have, forget Boone, would he would be gone
we
without question.
We can't keep saying if George was still alive, because if George was still alive, the problems
well,
we're seeing today
would, be different.
Would not be the problem.
No, of course, everything would be different. Cashman would have been long gone.
Yeah.
Boone would have been long gone. And everyone looks at that and says, oh, if only. But again, you have no idea who.
If George was still alive, Bryce Harper's probably a Yankee. Maybe they're in the World Series, but.
Fair, too.
How about that?
I suppose. So, he went out and got Jason Giambi. How'd that work?
Yeah. So speaking of that. Two important things to note for each of our baseball locals. Number one, if you're just getting in the car, Met fans, Dednell Nunez, who has obviously been a cog, a huge part of that Met bullpen, sorry to pour cold water on the Met return of Kodai Senga. He's going to the IL with a protractor strain, which, again, take this from the guy who has no medical school experience, barely school experience. In most cases, some could be a two-week injury. I've looked it up, 6 to 8 weeks, including throwing and returning to a baseball mound. Most cases.
Right.
6 to 8
weeks.
That's
a significant injury.
It's a significant injury. We're talking about the end of the year into the playoffs, if it follows that.
If he comes back at all. No doubt.
That is an enormous blow to the bullpen. Obviously, it could be the optimistic side. We don't know.
Well, listen, here's your point. They got to, at the deadline, you have to react as if Nunez is no longer a part of the bullpen.
Yep.
That's how it has to be handled.
And no question. And A.J. Puck gets traded last night to the Diamondbacks, a team you're directly competing with for the playoffs. They give up two of their top 14 prospects, so start doing the math. There are not going to be as many bullpen arms available as we think in comparison to who's buying and who's selling.
Right.
And look at the cost. It'll only go up. Interesting couple days. But that problem for the Mets now gets magnified. It was already an issue where they had a bullpen arm.
Yeah.
And thank God for Buto. It is getting magnified to another degree. And if the Mets are really going to push the chips all in here, they might need to find the prospects to deal for two arms. I don't know if two arms are going to be out there. It is something to watch while we're going on all the positivity. And in the meantime, you have to almost bank that the bullpen is going to blow a couple of these games. The Atlanta Braves are in your house this week, and you've already taken one. You have three more to go. This has to now be a series win after taking the first game. That's where we led the show off with, Chris, and I think you're in agreement with that.
Yeah, no, it would... To come off pounding the Yankees and then having a miraculous win. And that's not negativity to say they were lucky last night. Luck is the residue of design. Good teams get the lucky breaks. They were lucky.
That one.
The luck is the residue of design?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Made it up?
I live and breathe. Someone said it along the way somewhere. It's a very popular turn of phrase. Never heard of it?
You know, you and Tiki, I realize, are an awful lot alike.
Why?
Tiki likes to do this on the show where he'll whoop out a phrase. He goes, you know, everybody knows that phrase. He did it the other day at Hard Rock. And I forgot the phrase.
Luck is the residue of design.
I swear to you, me and 40 people on the Hard Rock looked at each other and went, what phrase is that? Everybody knows the phrase. And now you're just saying that. Oh,
have either of you two heard luck is the residue of design?
Say that one more time.
I guess not. Okay.
Luck is the residue
of design.
Residue is like moisture, dude. Why would luck be the moisture of design?
Okay.
You all right?
Maybe I got the phrase wrong. Maybe I'll look it up.
You said turn a phrase.
Well, it's a turn of phrase. Yeah.
I don't even know what turn a phrase means.
Oh my God.
Ted Turner?
And you wonder why you wanted the SATs? You wanted to know why you need to take the SATs. This is why, my friend. This is why. I got it wrong. Maybe I'm the fool. Look up luck is the residue of design.
All right. We're going to go back to your point.
Okay. My point is that, yes, they were lucky. And to come off pounding the Yankees, who traditionally pound them, and then have a game where 9 times out of 10, they lose that game to the Braves, have that victory last night, have an outfielder overrun it, you cannot turn that momentum into now losing the rest of the series. But I'm not as concerned just with Atlanta. I am. But leading into the deadline, yes, pad the standings. Yes, overtake them in the wild card race. Yes, send a message to the Braves. But the Mets have sent a message to their GM, and he needs to attack the deadline at a much more ferocious way than we would have ever have guessed when the season started.
Yeah.
It's twofold. The next couple of days, beat the Braves, go out there and make yourself a real contender.
And with that note on the deadline, the Yankees come into play now.
Yes.
We haven't done too much on the Yankees. I know a couple calls have called in. Obviously, they start a 3-game series with the Red Sox that you could start hearing on WFAN around 6:25 pregame tonight. First of all, before I get to the point, Rob tweets in and would like to let us know the Yankees make the playoffs several times in the 80s if there was a wild card. He's right about that.
So is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, they would have made it a couple times. Okay, and this Yankee team that we all hate with Brian Cashman would have been in the World Series several times if all you had to do was have the best record in the American League like they had in the 50s and 60s.
So, saving
great.
That one
congratulations.
All right. The Yankees today.
Now all of a sudden, regular season, this is where I get mad. This is where I get mad, bro. This is where the Brian Cashman anger comes out. Yes, I'm sorry.
You're bro-ing?
Yeah. Well, I'm bro-ing you because I figured I had to come down to your level. I can't throw out the residue of design at you. So now I'm going to go down to the bro.
Is this cap or no cap?
No cap right now. This is no cap.
Okay.
Now we care about regular season victories. When I question George Steinbrenner and the 80s, now we bring up regular season victories like it matters. But when I talk about Brian Cashman and his regular seasons over the last handful of years, nobody gives a damn. When we talk about Aaron Boone and his winning percentage, nobody gives a damn. But when you start questioning what's gone on prior to Brian Cashman, all of a sudden, hey, did you see how many regular seasons wins they had in the 80s? It's absolute nonsense.
I respect you.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing, and I respect
you. What am I doing? Spitting facts. That's what I'm doing.
I'll tell you what you're doing. I want to say hello to SNY. SNY has joined our show. Chris is well aware of that. Decided the cameras are on. Let's perk up a little bit. Bring the fire.
Oh, is that what I'm
you're
doing?
You put on a little show
I've
for
been bringing
SNY
up the
right
fire.
Now.
Listen, these rosy cheeks have graced SNY many a time before.
Okay.
I was here at the beginning of this SNY run, and I don't need to justify anything. I've been yelling this whole show.
That's
what bothers me because it's that kind of nonsense that gets me angry. We pick and choose when we're satisfied with wins. And the 80s, somehow because we love Don Mattingly and we love George Steinbrenner, hey, they actually won more games than you think. Do you know that the Yankees won more regular season games in the 1980s than any other team?
Yes, I know.
Great. Got them nothing.
I know.
Right? We care about regular season victories.
I'm just letting the listeners interact, man.
I'm just saying.
It's a long-ass season.
On those Yankees.
Yes.
Today, Jason Dominguez was activated off IL and sent to Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Berry? Bar? Well, I always get that wrong. The Scranton Rail Riders.
Yes, just leave it at that.
SATs.
All right.
By the way, did you get the residue of design line yet?
Yeah, it's actually a quote from Branch Rickey.
Branch Rickey, see?
Okay.
We have a couple callers on that as well?
Two callers on
that, see?
Yes.
That the luck is the residue of design.
Before I make my Yankee point, might as well go to these guys, Rich and Brick. Rich, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
What's up,
good to hear you in the afternoon. Doing well. I was going to say the Branch Rickey thing, but you guys already figured that one out from there. Mm-hmm. Google's a wonderful thing. as far as the Yankees are concerned, the only thing I can say, and I'm 57 years old, but I went through all that George stuff from right there. And Chris, I agree with you 110%.
Yeah.
It would be a Bronx wall all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, there is no viable reason why a 089 batter is mm-hmm. placed in the lineup or a person who was picked over first should ever be in the lineup, let alone on leadoff from right there. And
we missed that second part. The 8-9 hitter. What was the other part? Who was picked? What?
The other guy who was picked up off of the
waivers.
Waiver wire.
J.D. Davis?
Should never be in a lineup, let alone, leadoff hitter from there.
But Rich, you missed. Booney said he's been hot of late. He only had played for a month.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what a bad
stupid. He probably meant in like the last year, but still, stupid quote.
So
totally
on,
agree.
On that point with the Yankees, Jason Dominguez gets activated. Let's just start here, bare minimum. The Yankee problems, we could scream and yell about him on the fan, and we all have day long, all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Dominguez last year, and what was obviously a lost season, remember, it wasn't that long ago, we were stunned that the Yankees actually said, we are going to call up Jason Dominguez. We thought we wouldn't see him at all last year.
Yeah.
They call him up, he hits, obviously gets the horrible injury. He came back, got hurt, never saw an at-bat in the Bronx this year. The Yankees now are in no screwing around territory. I understand that he hasn't played a lot of baseball this year. I heard Emmanuel and Susan talking about this the other night of the second game of the Subway Series. I get it. However, he's in Scranton now. How many weeks before he returns? When he first came off and was doing his rehab assignment off the injury before
Tommy
he got
John.
Hurt again, Tommy John, he was hitting.
Yeah,
we kept getting those. He was raking it.
Raking.
I don't anticipate Jason Dominguez being 2-for-24 in his return to Scranton here. Now that doesn't mean he doesn't get off to a cold start these first couple games. The bottom line is this: this better not be Labor Day weekend before we see Jason Dominguez. Okay, as far as we are concerned, this isn't what it was in April and May where Verdugo was hitting.
Right.
Jason Dominguez needs to be in Yankee pinstripes by 2 weeks from today. I'm sorry. 2 weekends from now, whatever that schedule looks like, that needs to be the time the Yankees look and say, you've had 2 weeks of at-bats. You're a major league player. We need Jason Dominguez.
Yep.
By that time, I am under the assumption, because I'm shocked he's not back yet, Giancarlo Stanton will be a Yankee again.
Yes.
Now, if they want to give him one or two starts in rehab games, I disagree. I think at this point, if he's a DH, he should just come right up. He, as you've pointed out, he struggles anyway when he comes back. Those guys should be in the lineup. Now, That is a lineup with Juan Soto, with Aaron Judge, and the lineup when it was cooking had Giancarlo Stanton in it. You add Stanton and Dominguez, suddenly 4/9 of your lineup, and then if you include and you trust Austin Wells, who's played better, you start, and Volpe, you start looking and going, that lineup looks and tastes a lot better, and it's easier to digest, and suddenly the jokes that Luis Severino are making about two hitters go away.
Yes.
Now, does that fix the whatever the problems are with the rotation? I still don't trust Rodon, Stroman, right. We'll see Nestor Cortes tonight. I don't think that adding to the rotation is a huge necessity. If they do, I'm fine with it. I still want to see Clark Schmidt come back. I think that's important.
Yep.
The bullpen, they will get Ian Hamilton back. Maybe they get Nick Birdie back here. And then we'll see about Scott Efros. They actually do have solvable problems for this Yankee team within. But all of those problems that they have coming tell me I feel better about the Yankee team, but it also scares me about this. Last night, Randy Arozarena gets traded. AJ Puck gets traded. We're starting to see trades in Major League Baseball now. And I saw it 2 years ago when the Mariners pounced and got Luis Castillo, and we all thought there was a chance the Yankees could get him. The Yankees and Cashman scrambled, and they got Montas.
Yeah.
I fear, and remember last year's trade deadline, I'll take you back, was the day Domingo Herman showed up drunk and was crazy in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And the Yankees were the only team who, up until the very end when they added the guy from the White Sox, I'm forgetting his name, the reliever, Kittredge?
Middleton.
Kittredge, where'd I get that from? Middleton.
Yeah.
They were the last team to make a trade, what counts as a deadline deal in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Brian Cashman, for two straight years, an Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole-led team, feels like, for better or for worse, has more or less been asleep at the wheel at the deadline. Okay? Now, you want to say they added Benintendi a couple years ago? Fine.
Same year.
I understand that. But the deals really didn't pan out.
Added Bader.
Okay. Dealt Montgomery. It was a deal for a deal. Okay. Yeah. I still like the deal. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Overall, we have been very underwhelmed by Brian Cashman at the deadline.
Yeah.
And I don't trust that he's being as proactive right now until he proves me otherwise. Mm-hmm. I feel as if we are going to get the line that we get constantly from Brian Cashman around this time.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton is good as a trade deadline deal. Mm-hmm. Jason Dominguez is as good as a trade deadline deal. You know we're going to get Nick Birdie, John Birdie, the Birdcage. We're getting them all back.
Those are
as good as trade deadline deals. My prediction as a Yankee fan, while I won't give up on the team because I think we'll see a lot of the team that resembled April and May, so I don't want to make this fully negative.
Yeah.
We are going to be sold a bill of goods, and ultimately, I think the Yankees, we're about to be handed a big old crap sandwich at the trade deadline. And that's the way I believe. And they'll do something small.
Yeah.
Something small.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to get a major move here.
Yeah, I disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. And I think you're not wrong about the deadlines necessarily, but your wording is poor.
Okay.
On just the idea that Brian Cashman sat it out or was asleep behind the wheel. Last year's team was not this year's team. Last year's team was awful.
And why were they awful, Chris?
Oh, because of Brian Cashman.
Okay, thank you.
Totally agree.
Ignored the left field in the offseason?
Oh, terrible. He had last year's offseason might be the worst of his career.
Yeah.
He was terrible, the roster was terrible. That team didn't have the answers you're talking about now. There was no sense in attacking the trade deadline last year. 2 years ago, they were in a playoff position, they were leading the division, and he wasn't asleep at the wheel. He made trades that didn't work, but he was out there.
He wasn't aggressive enough that he let Castillo go to Seattle.
That's it. That's one player, and everybody tells you that the package they gave up was almost better than anything the Yankees could have done anyway.
Okay.
They traded for at the time.
But the fact that that deal happened a week before the deadline is exactly my point.
Yeah.
AJ Puck could have been a Yankee.
Yeah, but we don't know.
Did Cashman even call on him before he was traded?
I don't know.
I think the perception, and I could be completely wrong on this.
Right.
Is that Brian Cashman sits back and waits because of the New York Yankees
and
wants to capitalize on sellers' desperation to get rid of guys on the deadline instead of being proactive.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He made a bunch of trades that year. He traded for Bader. He traded for Montas. He traded for Benintendi. Like, he made a bunch of trades, left-handed trades, to try and do it. The year before, 21, they go out and get Gallo. We laugh at it now. It's a terrible trade. He was on pace to hit 45 home runs, two-time All-Star. The great Evan Roberts, called me on the way home congratulating me on the Yankees trading for Joey Gallo.
Then we should have known that was the kiss of death right there.
And they added Rizzo. Like, the idea that he sits these out, he's never asleep behind the wheel. Has he made...
Never asleep behind the wheel.
Never. Never. Has he made moves that have always worked? No. 2022, you look back at it, every single one
of the wheel, Chris, he's allowed DJ LeMahieu to be the third baseman for
Lindstrom. I meant at the trade deadline specifically. At the trade deadline specifically. He made a handful of deals in 22. A left-handed hitter they needed, Bader the center fielder they needed.
If he's never asleep at the wheel.
They were the wrong guys. They were bad trades. I'm not defending
them.
But don't tell me he sits them out or that he's unaware of what's going on.
If he felt that way last year, that the team wasn't good enough.
Correct.
They could have sold a couple pieces.
Who?
About? I have to go back. Maybe he was hurt.
Gleyber Torres is the only one.
Yeah. Okay. You could have traded Gleyber Torres. I mean,
you're still trying. The Yankees can't just give up. The Yankees just can't give up. Who's going to trade for DJ LeMahieu?
Last year?
Yeah.
DJ LeMahieu. Don't tell me the injury. They did Bader 2 years ago.
No, I understand that, but Bader was going to be healthy and was a Gold Glove caliber center fielder and not making any money. DJ LeMahieu is making $15 million.
A batting champion like that?
What are you going to get for him?
That's the answer? What are you going to get for him?
Yeah, and also, you got to understand, they can't punt. Even with that lineup.
Why not? They punted a couple years ago.
In 16, that's it. That's it. One time. One time when they were aging and he was finally allowed to do it. It's just with Judge and the contract and everything that just happened, they weren't going to punt on last year. They weren't going to trade away prospects for it either. Like, last year, I don't blame him for being inactive. I don't. The team wasn't good enough.
Man.
And 2 years ago, he was active. Again, I'm not defending the trades. They almost all exclusively failed. He did a terrible job and had a terrible deadline. And he might have a terrible deadline this time.
See it coming.
There's not going to be no presence under the tree. There's going to be presence under the tree. One of them just might be a juicer that we hate. And we were expecting toys.
I love my parents to death. Mm-hmm. They did the best they could, and I would never trade my childhood for anything.
Yeah,
I look back at some of the Christmas pictures I had, and you know those years I was super excited for a pack of construction paper as a big gift.
Yeah,
that's what I feel like the Yankees are going to get this year.
No, listen,
they're going to get the bullpen arm with the 4 ERA and a third baseman who maybe is a 10th player in a lineup.
Yeah, listen, I'll be disappointed if that's it, but they're going to make moves. He's not going to be asleep behind the wheel. He's making moves to bolster this team. He almost exclusively does.
I mean, Diamondbacks have gotten a jump on the Yankees.
They made one trade for one reliever.
You know how awesome AJ Puck would have been for the Yankees? Swing and miss stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for better.
Two ERAs is moving. I mean, that is the ideal kind of arm the Yankees could have used in a bullpen. Ferguson is keep trying out there with a 5 ERA.
I understand that. Listen, the deadline isn't over. The deadline isn't over.
It's not
one reliever,
but it's begun, Brian Cashman doesn't even realize it's
That's
begun.
That's not true. Come on. He knows it's begun. Stop it. They saw Rosie Aranda.
Top that Diamondback offer for AJ Puck?
Maybe. You just said it was higher priced than you thought. There are still other relievers out there.
Okay.
There are still other relievers out there.
All right. So let's go get Tanner Scott then on his expiring deal. Let's go do it.
Let's go do it. I'm with you.
I don't trust that they're going to do it.
Listen, that's fine. You cannot trust it.
I don't trust they're going to do it. And we're going to hear Ian Hamilton's coming back. Nick Birdie's coming back. And Scott Ebros is coming back.
Listen, I really don't think so. I think they're going to try and impact the bullpen. I think they're going to go get a third baseman. I think they're going to try and get. I think he's going to make 3, 4, 5 trades. I really do.
Three, four, or five?
Yes.
I know you're on no sleep.
No, that's what he does. What happened in 22?
5 trades, Chris.
How many? How many trades did he make in 22?
In 22, 3?
No, he traded Bader. He traded for Benintendi. He traded for
Montas.
He traded for Efros. He traded for Trevino. Oh, okay, he traded away Gallo.
Well, hold on,
now
Trevino.
No,
you're wrong. Gallo was the year before.
Was it?
Yeah, it was the Rizzo year. So. Yeah, they added the two Italians. That was the joke.
No, they traded away Gallo.
That doesn't count.
For Bader, who's hopefully going to be part of the bullpen, acquisition to injury at this trade deadline. See.
Also, Trevino was the same deal as Montas.
Okay, but still. All right, so it's players.
What you call there, folks, is I just pantsed Chris McMonagle.
No, are you kidding me? I just gave you both. You said, I just gave you all the trades and the players. Two relievers, a center fielder,
Chris,
a starting pitcher.
If that's the deadline we have,
I'm not saying
it's
it was. See, now this is where, because you're going to turn it on to me and saying, oh, I'm not saying it was a good.
Not only do you need to try and make multiple trades, they also have to work too. That's part
totally
of it.
Agree.
And that's on your scouting department. That's on everything. You can't just trade for the sake of trade.
You said asleep at the wheel. Yeah. I don't believe he'll be asleep at the wheel.
Because
I can't guarantee you that they'll work. And 2022, I don't think he was asleep at the wheel, but he made trades that failed. Whether it be injury or ineffectiveness, totally agree. It was a failure of a trade deadline. Every single one of the moves failed. Failure. But he wasn't asleep at the wheel. That's why when I started the argument, I said you've chosen poor words. He's got to go out there and make the right moves that help the team, no doubt. But he's going to make moves.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
What do we got?
Yankee lineup here.
There we go. Yankee lineup.
The Yankees start. You think it's going to be a good lineup? Or
no, I can tell. Well, I mean, you started with Jesus. So if he's leading off, that's probably the best leadoff hitter they've had.
Tell you something right now. Brian Cashman trades for Jesus. I'm all in. Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink
it. Now, it's against the right-handed hitter, so I can't imagine some of the names we despise, but go ahead.
All right.
Right-handed pitcher, excuse me.
I will just tell you, it's not the worst lineup in the world, but there's something glaring where you just scratch your head.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they're in Boston tonight.
Correct.
Leading off, you want to guess who the leadoff hitter is tonight?
Against Verdugo.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Oh, nailed it. I swear I haven't looked at it. You
now, Verdugo had the good night a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Alex Verdugo in no way, shape, or form could be your leadoff hitter. Getting, in theory,
who
gets the most at-bats tonight.
Who has to be?
Glaber's
right. Rice? Yeah, it's against a right-handed pitcher. Verdugo back in Boston. His biggest moment was the home run against the Red Sox.
Yeah, basically he hasn't done anything since. Including Saturday, Sunday
in
that series.
He's not a great leadoff option. They don't have one. I honestly don't think
if
it's that.
If this was not FCC regulations.
He's now hitting in front of Soto and Judge. Maybe he gets fastballs. Like, you got to trust. Verdugo's part of the team.
Lefty, righty, I don't care. Now, I'm either hitting Volpe or Torres first. I am.
Volpe rolls over ground balls to shortstop like it's his job. In the Mets series, he was killing.
He rolls over ground balls to shortstops. Alex Verdugo would win a ground ball derby.
Right I know, now. But but you can't. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't tell me he has to.
All right, let me get through the line.
Yeah, please.
Verdugo leading off in right, because it's Fenway.
Right.
Juan Soto plays left, bat second. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge will DH tonight and bat third.
Right.
Austin Wells back in the cleanup hole catching. Gleyber Torres will bat fifth and second. Ben Rice back at first base will bat sixth.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe bats seventh at short. Trent Grisham in center bats eighth. Oswaldo Cabrera at third bats ninth. With Nestor Cortez on the mound. So no LeMahieu tonight, which
that's a good lineup.
Is huge. No JD Davis, huge. The garbage is truly on the bench. I don't want to overreact and say hate the lineup. I'm just not a fan of hitting Alex Verdugo.
There's nobody else who clearly has to hit over him. I'm sorry. I know as bad as Verdugo's been, you're trying to get him going. You're trying to get him going in Fenway. Where he's, obviously got something to prove. He had a home run in Fenway the last time he played there. Yeah, it's not like they had better options. That's as good a lineup as the Yankees can present.
I disagree. I think that lefty-righty matchups be damned. Reward Gleyber Torres, who finally started to hit the ball and continue.
Where's he hitting? Where's Gleyber hitting?
Fifth.
Okay. He's in the middle of the lineup.
I'd rather see him lead off.
Why?
Because he's been productive the last couple nights.
Yeah, I know, but okay. If he's not going to be needed fifth. Behind Judge and Soto? Like, it's just...
Put it this way. Verdugo hitting leadoff is a reward. A reward for what?
It's not a reward.
Of course it is.
Why is it a reward?
When you go to a ballpark and you see your name hitting leadoff, that's a rewarding spot. What do you mean it's not a reward? You
I don't play think baseball. It's a reward. It's the difference between first and fifth.
All right. But then again, you know what? In the Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman era, we've realized when Jamai Jones can hit leadoff, the leadoff hitter doesn't mean anything.
I'm just telling you, I don't know where the better option is.
All right, Yankee.
It stinks, but there's no better option.
Yankee calls, Met calls. More when we come back, we're half an hour away from a Cinco de 5-0, in which we'll tackle the Olympics as well.
Mm.
The Olympics. 888.
Was that today?
Was that today? What do you mean?
The Olympics.
They started.
Yeah.
They actually started yesterday or the early days.
The early days?
This week. Well, they started in
Greece. They did start in the early days.
They started in Greece?
Yes.
But they're here in Paris now.
Yeah. No, I saw it. They were on the boats.
The opening ceremony is still going on now.
It's still going on right now.
It's still going on now. There's a horse leading in the torch, I think.
Wow.
There's a horse leading the torch?
Yeah, they did some whole thing of like a horse going on like over the River Sai, I believe.
Do you think when they asked the horse if he wanted to light the torch, his response was, It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Evan and Tiki on the Fan, Sean Morash, Chris McMonagle here. Quick Met update, reading Pat Regazzo on Twitter. Carlos Mendoza says it's a minor strain for Dednell Nunez and it should be a, quote, short stay on the IL. All ligaments intact, so they say that's good news. So that's obviously the best possible update you can have.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'll say is call me skeptical. You never know with forearm strains and all of that. As I said, there have been positive cases of, I forgot already the strain, the protractor strain?
Yeah, something like that. Protractor.
Something like that.
Rotactor.
There have been people back in 2 weeks. Overall, the consensus is usually 6 to 8 weeks, but if it's really just minor and a short stay, then hopefully it's on the 2 weekend. But look, you never know with these things. Give it time. But if that's the case, if it really is very short and we see him by mid to late August, I would take that as a successful win for the Mets. Right.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Absolutely. If he's pitching again this year with, you know, and you feel like he's got it, you know, he's got his feet under him heading into the postseason where hopefully this team is headed. If you feel like you've got a healthy, ready to go, no issues, a couple of innings underneath his belt heading into the postseason, that's all you could ask for.
Yep, no doubt about it. I was just looking. Three minor leaguers got suspended for PEDs.
Really? Any of them Yankees?
That's
or
what
Mets?
I was just looking at. Yep. It looks like not. Also, I've now seen pictures of the Juan Soto figurine that's going to be coming out Friday, August 9th in a game Craig Carton will televise.
Oh.
What have you thought about the Juan Soto urine?
He's televising it?
I'm sorry, broadcasting.
Yes.
Have you seen the behind the when the players step in the middle of the FIG part and it says Juan Soto urine night? Have you noticed that at Yankee Games?
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do I think?
Would you rather have a figurine or his urine?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the figurine.
Me too. 888.
I mean, it's a close one.
Is it?
You know, well, no, it's not, clearly, but you asked the question.
Okay, geez, calm down,
I'm just saying,
Chris.
You know, I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's what do you want me to say? It's apropos because they're pissing away the season? Like,
that's what I was looking for. Eric in Rivervale. Eric, what's up?
Morash, C-Mac, what's happening, boys?
What's up, Eric?
Great show, guys. Absolutely awesome. It's, I mean, such a flashback to the CMB days. I don't know that I've heard you guys together since then. It's
I know.
Else.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, many people forget we were back
Yankees,
there.
And to have two Yankees fans on in the afternoon, I absolutely love it. Without some, you know, loogie-hating Mets fan over there, I love it.
He's a weird guy, mm-hmm. right, Eric? Very weird guy.
I'll tell you, man, that whole loogie thing is like nails on a chalkboard, man.
Loogie!
Like, oh, hurts my ears. Oh, brutal.
Yeah, that's right. The kid will figure it out.
At some point. So, and I mean, Morash, the fact that you actually taught students is probably one of the more terrifying things I've ever heard. I mean, there's 20 million people just in New York, as an FYI, not like the actual continental United States.
No way.
Yeah.
20 million in New York?
Yeah probably.
No, the city probably has 3 million.
New York
million?
City or New York State?
Yeah, what do you mean?
New York State is 20 million.
No.
New York City
New
is
York,
about 9 of that 20.
Correct. New York City.
I would have guessed 3 million people in the city.
8.3 million people.
Are you
in
serious?
2022. So it's probably even a little bit more than that. Now, let's see. New York
8 million
State.
People in the city?
And New York State doing? Is 19.6 million people in New
there
York
you go.
State.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
So, you know, explains a million traffic. Potatoes a week doesn't seem that crazy.
No, and we did have a caller on hold earlier, Eric, that said each Wendy's location nationwide sells about 19 baked potatoes a day. So when
that's
put it out there, there is a lot of Wendy's.
Sure.
So I guess that makes sense.
And plus, it's not like necessarily that, you know, a million people. It could be the same person who loves baked potatoes getting a lot of
them. Well, how many baked potatoes can you eat?
No, but I'm just saying it, you know, that 19 to one location, theoretically, 19 in a week could be four people.
I guess that's true. That's true. All right, Eric, what else you got?
So, baseball on the Yanks, guys. You know,
you don't want to talk potatoes any longer? That's it? Right on to the Yankees.
The
I mean, geez.
Guess. I mean, the trade deadline's like 5 days away here.
I know
it doesn't
that,
sound
but...
like cash is up to much. But,
right.
You know, I was seeing that. We talked about it last night, and I can't, like, I don't know what it's going to take to cut LeMahieu, but I would absolutely love to see them do it. And as far as the trade deadline, I mean, what do we think is realistic? I mean, Morris, you brought up a really good point and something that I was concerned about when I heard that, you know, the Martian was coming up and he was going to be, you know, coming back and potentially could be in that lineup sooner than later, and Stanton as well. And then, you know, we get some arms back. Yeah, are we going to get sold the same bill of goods that we have in the past, which is, you know, these are equally or if not better than some of the trades we could have made.
You will hear that line. You will absolutely, when Cashman addresses the media on the deadline, you will hear that line. Bookmark it.
I think you're right, and I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about, I mean, almost everybody in the American League is in it, right? So there's going to be plenty of competition for the Yanks out there. And honestly, outside of Spencer Jones, our farm system, and even Spencer Jones, for that matter, is what, 76 as far as, you know, the top 100 prospects. So, you know, Baltimore and other teams that are in the mix are going to have packages to put together for guys like Mason Miller, who I saw actually – they did put on the 15-day IR.
Yeah, broke his pinky, non-throwing hand because he's punching padded tables.
Yeah, did you hear why?
I read it.
He didn't want to do his workout or some ridiculous thing?
He was leaving the facility and told you forgot to do your post-game work lift or post-practice lift or whatever, and he was so frustrated there to go back inside and lift that he punched the padded table and broke a pinky.
Can I give him a pass for a second? That's the one organization in sports I understand right now. They don't even have a home. They don't even have a weight room. There was probably raccoons crawling all over them in the weight room. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Why would
the fact that, like,
does he have to go on the IL with a broken pinky on the other hand?
Sure, you do. You have to feel the ball. How could you put your... Have you ever broken a finger?
I've never broken a bone in my whole life.
Come on.
Swear to God.
How?
I used to hang... I just got stung by a bee. I got stung by multiple bees. About a week ago. 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay, I don't mean to laugh, right? But...
Well, I'm just saying, I...
How does one get stung by multiple bees?
By sticking your hand inside something where there was a beehive. I had a...
Did you ever see Stand By Me?
Are you sure you don't mean My Girl?
Oh, My Girl.
Yes.
My Girl, right. Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stand By Me.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, you realize when you work this show, it's just constant corrections. It's constantly just correcting or educating Sean.
Well, when you don't...
Same error, though. Stand By Me.
When he doesn't take his SAT, what do you
expect? Yeah, right. But exactly right. I have one of those like plastic sort of boxes with the crank for your hose that hides the hose. You wrap it up and you crank the hose.
Yeah, I'm well. Yeah.
So I was cranking the hose. as one does.
And did you say Stand By Me?
No, I was cranking the hose and the hose got stuck and bent. So I had to go reach in there to like unbend it. And as soon as I reached in, four bees came flying out like right at my face. They got me on my hand and two on my arm. And I only bring it up because for years I've hung on to the idea that I've never had a cavity, I've never been stung by a bee, and I've never broken a bone. And in the last year, I've lost two of the three. I had my first cavity, I've been stung by a bee, but you know, I've not broken a bone.
So in many ways, your body's a lot like the Brian Cashman era. Hot start, falling apart,
and anything could happen. Yeah.
Anything could happen.
I'm worried about the broken bone any day now. But still, you tape it. Like, what do they do for broken bones?
I would argue.
Broken fingers, you tape it up. No,
but this is exactly why. I would argue, and I've broken a toe, mm-hmm. a finger, and a wrist.
Yeah.
I would argue, as much as the length of rehab is the wrong word, healing is worse for the wrist. You're at a cast. It's a pain in the butt and everything. Ultimately, like, you manage to figure it out. It's more annoying breaking a finger or a toe, because especially stuffing your hand in a mitt with it taped up and stuff like that, that's extremely painful.
You tape it together. When I wear a glove, I put the two fingers in the one hole in the glove.
You've seen...
You tape up the ring finger and the pinky finger. You put it in the same hole in the glove.
Chris, hold on. We love watching baseball. Yeah. I would argue you love watching baseball more than me. You really do.
I'm obsessed. A big baseball guy, yes.
You are, okay? You see the exit velocities on some of these hits.
Yeah.
A comebacker on the mound where Mason Miller has to turn with his broken pinky in a mitt at 107 miles an hour off the bat.
Right.
You're going to do more damage than that. He's got to go on the IL.
No, I disagree. Right now, he says somebody with a
broken bone who's scared of bees.
He might be. I'm not scared of bees. I just happen to be very adept at avoiding them up until the other day. But you can put it, it's your non-throwing hand. He might be traded. He might be the crown jewel of relievers traded this deadline. He's going to go on the IL right before.
Yeah.
Get out there, you know, and because he was stupid and punched the chair, you tape that finger up, you figure out a way to get the glove on, and you go out there and pitch.
Did the bees come out of that cranking hose?
You know what it is.
I know. Did they come out of it and swarm you and go, "Hey, we were beesy"? Matt in River Edge. Matt, what's up?
Where did you get this stuff? These are the worst dad jokes I've ever heard. We were beesy?
Yeah, Sean.
We were beesy?
Sean, they're pretty bad.
What was that?
I don't know. What's all the buzz about, Matt?
Now that's a little bit better.
What's up, fellas? So I just got one point. I kind of agree with C-Mac here.
Well, sure you do.
I think Brian Cashman is going to probably make the most trades he's ever made at a deadline. I think he's going to be ultra aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you three reasons why. You have arguably three. You have Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Gerrit Cole. Arguably three top 10 players in the MLB.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit on your hands, put your feet up. You have to be ultra aggressive.
Yep.
Two, if they could go into this deadline, take two out of three, or even sweep the Red Sox, bring in five, six new guys, whatever, two batters, four arms, I think this team's morale. And then you have the Yankee deadline, obviously, which is when you get injured players back, because that's a new thing they decided to do.
Okay.
So I think that could ultimately right the ship.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, that's two different conversations. Can he make the moves that right the ship? And then how many will he make, or how aggressive will he be? Will he finally be willing? Because this is what I'll give you. I don't think asleep at the wheel is fair to classify him at the deadlines. What I will say is he's been unwilling to make a trade he's uncomfortable with.
All right.
Is he going to be willing to be uncomfortable? What do we got?
Brian Cashman is asleep at the wheel, and the Orioles are not. The Baltimore Orioles have made the first big swing in the American League's trade deadline. Okay. They have acquired, according to Jeff Passan, Zach Eflin, the starter from the Tampa Bay Rays, who walked the ballpark versus the Yankees.
Yeah.
But Eflin overall pitched into about a 4 ERA this year. Obviously, don't pay attention to win-loss. The Rays have been terrible. He's lost his last three starts. But overall, just a sound, solid arm.
Yep, and they need.
The Orioles' biggest need is their rotation because of injuries has been a complete disaster.
Yep.
So, folks, look, the trade deadline is hot and heavy now.
Yeah,
okay?
No doubt.
A big-time reliever got dealt to the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Randy Rosarena's been traded. It's a fire sale in Tampa.
Yep.
And within the division now. So I don't want to hear the Rays win trade with the Yankees.
100%.
The Orioles go get Zach Eflin. I don't think we have compensation yet.
Yeah.
Top three prospects, I'll say. Not top three, but three prospects.
Well, three. Yes. Do you have any idea where they are in the Tampa Bay ranking in their pecking order?
On the trade front as well, the Mariners also acquired Yimi García from the Blue Jays. So that's a top relief pitcher off the market.
Okay.
Or one of the top ones.
So there you go. A couple big relievers have already been traded. Yep. One of the bigger starters that we'd be dealt, not at the expense of Scooble or
Crochet. And not someone I think the Yankees were targeting.
No, I'm not saying the Yankees were targeting.
No, you're right.
And for the
record, it's time to get going. I don't think anyone disagrees.
And I don't think the Yankees are going to line up in a playoff series and I'm going to go, oh my God, they're facing Zach Eflin.
Agreed.
But it's still a big deal for the Orioles in terms of managing to the end of the September to try to win this division.
They're 4-6 over the last 10 games, and the Yankees have been dreadful, and they can't pull away. They need something to. This is a quick fix. I think there's still more to come from the Orioles in the starting pitching market. But, yeah, look, there's still yet to be the move where I'm like, Jesus, that's one of the guys the Yankees are targeting. This is a disaster. But to your point, it's happening now.
That's it.
It's happening now.
I said this
He's got to get going right now.
I said this to yesterday, Evan. They're going to play the series versus Boston. Everybody's so focused on Tuesday. We have seen a trend in the last couple of years. I understand. None of this is earth-shattering.
Right.
A couple bullpen arms could have been had. That market's getting set. Teams are jumping and getting active instead of just sitting back and praying and hoping on deadline day that they could figure out.
Right.
I think that I get it. Teams and general managers want to get cute in negotiations.
Yep.
Modern-day baseball is trending on, I'm going to be more aggressive to make sure I don't have to worry about this. And the Yankees are in panic mode right now, or at least they should be.
Yes.
Cashman's got to get going here.
No doubt.
To the point, the Yankees aren't one move away from turning this team back into a World Series contender. I would be disappointed if we came on the air Monday at 2 o'clock, or even except you're on Monday night.
Sunday night, Monday
morning.
Yeah, yeah.
If by the time you take the air after Yankees play Sunday night baseball, the Yankees haven't done anything, and do you think this is the last trade that's going to happen this week in Major League Baseball?
Yeah,
probably not. A little disappointed.
I guess. I'm not really that focused on he's got to get going. When the trade deadline ends, and to quote Brian Cashman, the pencils are down, he needs to have multiple impact players. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Whenever it happens, we could talk about it fine. If moves are made, whatever. He has to make impact moves to help this team by the deadline, and it's starting to happen now.
The Diamondbacks have gotten better.
Yes.
The Orioles have gotten better.
Yes.
Two teams that are going to be competing.
And the Mariners have clearly gotten better.
I said the Mariners and...
No, you said the Diamondbacks.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Diamondbacks did get better, but the Mariners...
Yeah. All right, it happens. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. Mariners have gotten better, and the Orioles have gotten better.
Yankees need the strike.
100%.
Need the strike.
100%.
All right. We're going to come back, do a little Cinco, continue to take your calls. The deadline is heating up here in Major League Baseball.
Come on, Cash. Do it for now. I'm on the air now.
Stop Eflin around. Baltimore's
not. You love this stuff, don't you? You love the little clever wordplay you got going on. Stop Eflin around. That was probably your best, quite honestly, which doesn't say much, but it was probably your best.
All right.
Well, but you like doing that.
I think it's my thing.
Yeah, it's kind of your thing.
I think it's my thing. Speaking of that elk.
Yeah, it's ilk. And I say elk all the time. Someone called me on it the other day.
Elk's an animal.
An elk is an animal. But if you say like someone of that elk, it's ilk.
No, but I think we're referencing somebody like that animal. What does ilk mean?
Okay. When you say someone of that elk, which I make the same mistake and say elk instead of ilk.
I've never heard what ilk means. What does
it
ilk
means
mean?
Someone of that ilk, someone of that like, someone of that kind, which is what you say when someone of that elk. That's what you mean. You honestly mean someone of that elk, the animal?
Yes. Like elks are alike in their packs. They all look alike. Chris has walked out. I really never heard of ilk.
What do you mean?
I didn't mean to work with you today and feel like I had to go back to school, Chris. I mean, geez.
What the heck does someone of that animal mean, bro?
Who's ever heard of the word ilk?
No, I get the fact that you make the mistake and say elk instead of ilk.
Uh-huh.
I get that. Okay, I make the
someone
same mistake.
Of that, okay, so you're saying it's someone of that ilk, not elk.
Correct.
I just thought someone of that elk meant like someone like that. Like the elks are all looking alike. All right.